It is Sunday, 17th November, and it is the Sunday Show with Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement. Morning, Neil.
Morning, Chris. A week that was, but cannot begin the show without saying, the Springboks, the gift that just keeps on giving, and Cheslin Kolbe, if you ever want to be the Minister of Sport, Minister of Justice, or President, I think today would be the right day to campaign. What a game. Not a good game, not the best, but a win against England, I'll take it every day and twice on the Sunday. So well done, Boca.
Okay, Neil, let's go to the book written by former African National Congress Treasurer, General Matthew Sporza. I'm sure you have plenty to say.
Chris, they always say the game, the story or the ideology is not done until the fat lady sings. I don't care. I've been making her sing for the past 20 years by continuing in various debates on various platforms over two decades to say that it was very clear that the now deceased Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was one of the biggest financiers of the ANC and in specifically the Zuma era. The amount of money that was poured into this country by Gaddafi and then what was called the Libyan Foreign Fund was so obvious, it was in your face. I mean, the fact that a quarter, right or wrong on a couple of billion, of the developments that were then done within Sandton, specifically Mandela Square, certain hotels, that was held by the Libyan Fund. And it was very clear that no one was interested to hear the fact that the dictatorial despot of Libya propped up the government of the ANC. It was denied. And the funny thing is, when he was assassinated and killed, that every single year, Chris, on record, a multitude of representatives of the then Libyan Freedom Government used to come to South Africa, sit here like a bunch of lapdogs, and ask him for the money back. And every time the ANC received them, they said, but we don't recognize you. You're not the real Libyan government. Then they used to go away, and then they used to come again and attempt again. The fact that that man put money into pockets is now being revealed by the ex-treasurer general, the money man of the ANC, and now it cannot be denied. But I'll tell you what, cockroaches are running for every hidden shadow in every part of that kitchen so that no one can take liability. Shocking, now that it is in paper. Question, what are they going to do about it?
What do you think they're going to do about it, Neil?
Well, they're definitely not going to pay back the money. Because at the end of the day, I think there's too much money that has to be paid back by too many people. In my opinion, they're going to do the true South African waltz. They're going to shut up. They're going to deny. They're going to act stupid, which will not be difficult. And they're just going to wash their hands and say, the man is dead and you have no proof. That's what they're going to do.
Talking about stock responses, President Cyril Ramaphosa is under fire again for yet another belated response to a crisis.
You know, Chris, I wonder if I'm the only South African that gets an absolute chill. Here's an Afrikaans word, poepenjaars. Now, poepenjaars is the small little horrific part from the back of your backside to the beginning of your spine. That is exactly the feeling that I get chilled in my poepenjaars when they are telling me that Cyril Ramaphosa is having a family meeting. Now, I can tell you that I'm not the only South African that gets the chills of the poepenjaars when it is said that he's having a family meeting. We can recall when the Honorable President used to have them during COVID and used to start off with my fellow South Africans. Kyk, dan hardloop my moermeter faster than a Ferrari on an autobahn. I looked at him several times. And Chris, that what makes it worse is this is our president, a man that we should be revering, a person that we should be proud of. I am not. Because whilst he was standing and calling us fellow South Africans, this government stole more than 500 billion rand worth of COVID money. So I'm sorry, every time I see this man calling a family meeting, that thing comes up and then pala pala. Now there he comes up on a Friday, also is besig om te braai. Now you want to family meeting with our fellow South Africans. And he stood there and he spoke about what actions, programs, committees, investigations he's now going to launch after tens and tens of people in this country has already died of food poisoning. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Ramaphosa. It would seem that people think I don't like you. Well, they're right. You won't inspire me to lead an international pillow fighting team against Zimbabwe because he is just not a person that takes decisions. He's not a leader. He's gutless. And I called him on several occasions coward. You don't stand there and tell us what you're going to do. Your government should have done it. Now, in this week, an expert, a chemistry expert, got up and said that the law, Chris, is clear. No form of agricultural, chemical, or pesticide poison may be decanted and kept in any other format except the official packaging of such poison. That's like saying, don't bring a lighter to an atom bomb. It's horrendous that we've got people that are now standing back and saying, we should shut down these places where we find these traces of poison. Now, if it wasn't this horrific, if it wasn't this sad that children died, children went into spaza shops, apparently buying chips and chocolates and goodies as a child, and dies. And now we want to get up and say, we are going to take action. Now here's the action a president should take. Should have taken. He should have taken the army, the police, law enforcement, medication, people that are of state, and going with force. With force, Chris. Even if you have to set aside the bloody constitution. But going there, circle a place, shut it down and clear them. And anybody transgressing must be facing the full force of the law. But now he comes up on TV to say the remedial action that he wants to take. I'm sorry, Cyril. Again, too little, too late. This is the kind of country, the kind of leadership, Chris, that we've got. And I'm sorry if I look at the multitude of leaders in this country. They don't inspire me. You must show yourself as a person that can get up and say, I will defend passionately the lives of the citizens of this country, no matter what it takes. Children died, people died, because of a consequence, in my opinion, of a lack of governance in this country. Well, he's got to now ship up, shape up, and get this done. Because the citizens, slowly but surely, Chris, are taking the law into their own hands. And they only will do that because there's a shortfall of action of the government. And that's my opinion. Again, we're sitting with a president who has delayed reactions. And it seems, Chris, and I'm not insulting the man, I'm just saying this is his demeanor. If you're a president of a country, not only are you the president and the first citizen, but you are supposed to inspire the country to show them that you care, that you will defend them with what you have. And I'm sorry, every time that president comes on, it looks like he's either begging, he's sad, or he's got a piece of pup stuck on his face, and that does not inspire. I'm sorry, not my leader, not my circus, not my clown. Very, very disappointed.
In another example of his non-active demeanor, the nation is still waiting for him to do something about the justice minister.
Yeah, another travesty of justice. Sorry for the pun. This Minister Simelane is, in my opinion, just as pathetic. I sit here the week watching Parliament's questions. Now, Chris, there's a lot of people that say, not because of my intellect, my IQ, EQ, AQ, because I don't have much, but that they would have loved to see this program appear in Parliament. Now, I just wonder sometimes when I sit and have a good Olof Berg, I wonder what I would do in Parliament, because I think I would be suspended 3/4 of the time, but ex officio move. Now, plain and simple, there they sit in Parliament, funny enough, Chris, under a tent. Parliament is currently in a tent because they can't fix a parliamentary building that burned down 4 years ago. Hulle kan nie 'n dom as 'n parlement bou nie. Now, can you imagine if they have to build bridges? Well, yeah, they're sitting in a tent. Well, that's very good because it just means that they are sitting in a circus and all of them are clowns. So there is this minister who gets asked 3 times by 3 various members of parliament to declare what is the status of VBS and her charges. And not once does this minister get up and actually answer the question. And the questions are clear. You were asked to table a report about your benefits of VBS. Did you do it? She misses the point. Then she's asked, what was the outcome of such a report? She misses the point. And then lastly, she has to then actually say, according to a media report 2 weeks ago, that her report, the so-called loan agreement, Chris, between her and a company that was seconded by VBS, it seems that the report says that that report looks like that the loan agreement was written backdated. And that's where it stopped. So again, you are sitting with a minister, but not just a normal minister. Minister of Justice, who seemingly is dodging her own justice. And this is an indictment on everything that we are looking at, because that department, that ministry, is probably one of the most biggest indicators that civil democracy exists, and that is the independence of the judiciary. Mania, there she sits, and she thinks she's clever by chirping us. Now, I am not going to stop being the thorn in the side of that minister, that I can let you know.
Meanwhile, Neil, X is awash with photographs of crumbling metros as the sorry state of South Africa's municipalities is making daily life hell for many people.
It's shocking. I mean, out of the 200 and what municipalities in this country, I think just over 230, 80% do not have clean audits and 80% are deemed bankrupt. Now, Chris, we used to come from a system, no matter the dictated era of period of time, where we had proud municipalities, where in actual fact this country had no focus actually on national or provincial matter, but your total focus was your home. Now, that's not changed. Citizen X, ratepayer, taxpayer, their mindset has not changed, that it now has just forgotten about their home turf. It's just that their home turf has been crumbling and has been absolutely falling apart, has become a disgrace, that you cannot blame the people of sitting and being despondent. Chris, if you just look at our metros, you'll remember a couple of years ago, there was a massive implosion of one of the main streets of Johannesburg Metro, where it in actual fact was videoed, where it just collapsed in a horrific scene in the middle of Johannesburg. You will not now be surprised when I tell you that that place has never been fixed. That
I've
in actual
the
fact
photos.
They drive around it. We can now sit back and say that the normal citizen, ek praat nou van my, I'm talking about me, mina nomslaat. I care about my road, I care about my lawn, I care about my grass, I care about my trees, I care about my water, my refuse, my sewage, my electricity. I care about that. What happens in National Circus actually doesn't have any bearing. Now, can you imagine being that citizen and you face potholes every day? Lack of water because we're going into a water crisis. No road infrastructure that's dramatically changed. No feeling that there's a beautification of my own town. But Chris, there's good news. There's very good news. I can declare that there was a court case this past week. And in the court case this past week, the judgment was that from hence of this judgment, that city officials, not political parties, that city officials can now be charged with dereliction of duty on the basis that if the municipal area is not kept up to standard, that they can now be charged under the law. Now, I would ask every citizen in this country, because we are all suffering the same, that they should go and study this law and that they should ensure that the citizenry, not politicians, will get up, and if you find that your services are not to the standards, that you should absolutely form entities amongst communities and take that municipality and its people that are sitting on their backsides to court and make them pay, because we are already paying our rates and taxes. We deliver and need those services to be done. So I'm just allowing the citizens of this country to know, now is the time to take out your bamboo in Morela. Because if we can't keep them accountable in Parliament, which we can't, then we must take them to court and keep them accountable.
I think we'll need special courts to accommodate all those municipal officials, Neil. Meanwhile, have you been following the Zama-Zama drama? There's big debate. Should the illegal miners be left to die, or should they be rescued from the illegal activity? What do you say?
I think we should get to the terminology of legal or illegal. I think it's very clear and apparent that whatever activities these people have been done is illegal. Then let's get there now. I think this debate about miners, illegal miners, Zama-Zama's people, let's put that aside. I'm not talking about the humanitarian problem. I'm talking about the law. So number one, they are illegal. Number two, the activities that they were performing is illegal. And that is the first point. I don't think there's debate. Number two, Chris, now that we understand that this is an illegal activity, it doesn't then allow us, in my humble opinion, to cut off our humanitarian ideology. South Africans are not that way. South Africans band together when necessary. I think it is very clear that we are, at this current moment, at a point where we either extract and assist them and then let legal recourse take its place. But the first and most important scenario is to get the human being, not the illegal miner, the human being, to get that person out. Because that is what we will be staying judged on. Not the fact that we brought illegal activities to justice, but that we brought humanity to a human being. No matter the identity, no matter the nationality, no matter the gender or the race, we are now sitting with a human crisis. And I think it is up to South Africans to now say to each other, before it again becomes a meeting of my fellow South Africans. Now, funny enough, that man, my fellow South African, understands crisis at mines, should know what happens when you absolutely do nothing and people die. Marikana, Cyril. So if I was the president, I would be a little bit sensitive when people say people are dying in a mine. Mop, boom, bow shot right over there. So it's now up to us. Now again, isn't it sad? Isn't it an indictment that we've got to go to court again? We've got to go to court. And yes, they did go to court. Certain of the people that are there within the humanitarian conclaves of organizations had to go to court. And the judgment was clear that humanitarian assistance must be given to the people currently under the mind. Now, they are playing with words, Chris. Trapped, untrapped, refusing to come out, whatever. It matters not. When a person dies of hunger, of starvation, of dehydration, it becomes a humanitarian crisis. And that's not South African. That's not how I know South Africans. So I think it is time that they get taken out, that they be brought up, that they are being taken care of as a human. Whatever process after that must follow. It must follow. But the fact is, we need to also understand, Chris, how did it get there? We need to understand, how did it get there to a point that 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever the amount of people are currently in that position. We've got to now have I would beg an inquiry. I would beg an investigation on everybody from government right to the bottom. Because in my opinion, someone slipped up, someone fell asleep, someone didn't do their job. And I think, Chris, if you really want to know what is my political attitude, there's only one word I'll give you. Accountability. And until this government cannot take accountability on all levels, we are sitting with a government that we cannot support. So, Chris, that's it. They need to take them out. They need to get them out. They need to ensure that humanity and humanitarian aid comes. And then the process of law, and I hope we learn from this, because I think we suffer the consequence of not learning from our mistakes.
From a humanitarian crisis, Neil, to a party in crisis, the once mighty economic freedom fighters, it seems that Dr. Ndlozi, the long-suffering Dr. Ndlozi, has been banned from attending the elective conference. How much longer can he last there, considering the way he has been treated by Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema?
Yeah, Chris, really interesting. But are we surprised? I mean, let's quickly. Yeah, I think his nickname in the EFF is Honorary Butler. I think, Chris, we've got to sit back and right now, watch my eyes. I'm not going, wow. I mean, are we really surprised that Julius, commanding chief, honorable leader, president, dictator, Gaddafi, Idi Amin, Dada. Dit alles op sy besigheidskaart. Are we really under the impression that Julius Sello Malema is a Democrat? Are we really surprised that Julius is saying that I'm not going to allow anybody to stand against me? And shoot, thank goodness Floyd is away, because that's one contender gone. And also much as ban Ndlozi from having a point, a seat, or a vote at a conference, because I, Julius, I'm the president for life. Now, there's no surprise from you. There's no surprise from me. In actual fact, if Julius could go have a meeting of his electorate at a spur across the Salad Valley and then just dictate himself as being the person, he would bloody do it. So I'm not surprised. The EFF, though, I must tell you, is looking as the demeanor of its own CIC. Not good, thinning out, and at this current moment looking drastically desperate. Is putting up a good fight, though. You've got to agree. Julius is always coming out in the overall and giving it his best. I think he's one of those people that will fight it until the day he dies. So, yeah, I don't think there's much hope of Ndlozi staying much longer there in the EFF. And hey, you might see him in camouflage very soon.
I wonder which MK parliamentarian will be kicked out to make space for him, Neil.
Oh, they don't care. I think they're just walking, take 14 cards, draw, and if you've got number three, you go. So I don't think they actually care about who they kick out or who they bring in. Chris, the question is, can they keep up by naming the people? Because I think they kind of forget who's in and who's out. And really, yeah. To dramatically...
I'm struggling.
I can't keep up. And the problem is they all wear camouflage. So it's kind of, let me see. What dress uniform it must be in Parliament when they bring up the potlots?
Thank you. That was the irrepressible Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with Biz News. And I'm Chris Stain. Thank you, Neil.
Blessings, Chris. Blessings to all our people.